Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a moment at Mackenzie Shirilla's sentencing hearing that tells you more about this case than the verdict ever did. It doesn't belong to Mackenzie either. It doesn't belong to the judge. It belongs to her mother, Natalie Shirilla. When she stood before the Cuyahoga County courtroom, her daughter had just been convicted of 2 counts of murder. Dominic Russo, 20 years old, Davion Flanagan, 19, both dead at the scene after Mackenzie drove her Toyota Camry into a brick building at approximately 100 miles an hour without ever touching a brake. A judge had called her actions controlled, methodical, deliberate, intentional, and purposeful. And Natalie, mom, asked for leniency. Called it a tragic accident her daughter doesn't remember. Then she referenced Davion Flanagan, the 19-year-old who died in the backseat. And as much as she acts like I didn't mean to dismiss him, dismissed him. The way she conducted herself in that courtroom, he was a new friend. almost like, and? New, like she puts, it tells you a lot about what's going on in the brains of these people, in my opinion, by the way they speak, by what naturally comes out of them, by the way they have to back it up. Well, I didn't mean it like that, or I mean, is that what I'm saying? Like, I get people say stupid shit. I do all the time. But it can be very telling, especially in a moment like that. The level of dismissing the existence of another human being's worth. And again, maybe, you know, in some scrutiny, and probably when she sits down, she probably, when she really thinks about it, doesn't dismiss his worth. But in the reactionary sense that these people live in, and the world that they live in, where everything's reactionary, it's everybody else's, somebody else's fault. It's not their own little angel. It's very disturbing, and it's very telling how quick this clan of folks has been able to dehumanize others around them for their own well-being. In my opinion. And it tells you a lot of how Mackenzie Shirilla processes the world, because if mom's speaking like that, and that's her knee-jerk reaction, her knee-jerk instinct to speak the way she spoke in that courtroom, well, there's your recipe. That's what made Mackenzie Shirilla. He was a new friend, she said. And thought that being a new friend, like somehow that mattered. As if it were a tier system of who's dead. He was just a new one. She didn't quite say it like that, but it's a weird qualifier. A weird qualifier. The judge cut her off, asked her what that meant, asked if Davian's life was worthless, and Natalie had to be corrected by a judge in open court in front of grieving families into performing a basic act of decency, an apology. And she did. I'm sorry. I mean, she was flustered. I get it. There was a level of, you're on the spot. This is a moment that counts. Don't F it up. And then you look at this family and go, this is a family that on the spot, in the moments that count, they F it up. That's how it works in the Shirilla household. At least that'd be my interpretation, and I think a lot of people's interpretations. That moment is not a mother cracking under pressure. It is not a grief-wrapped woman absorbing someone else's pain. It's a woman performing the exact function she's performed for 17 years, in my opinion. Minimize, reframe, redirect. And the only difference is that a courtroom happened to be watching. She wasn't breaking character. She was in character. This was the role. And it had been the role for so long, she couldn't turn it off. Even when two families of the dead people were sitting 10 feet away, mourning their children. This episode isn't about the crash. We've covered the crash. We've covered the conviction, the jail calls, the prison behavior. This is the prologue. The part of the story that happened before any of it, inside a house in Strongsville, Ohio, where a specific kind of parenting operated for almost two decades, and everything that came after grew out of it. And I want to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we work our way through all of this. And I want to be honest about something before we go further. This is an opinion piece. I don't know what happened inside the Shirilla home every day for 17 years. None of us do. We can't replay the dinners, the arguments, the parent-teacher conferences, the conversations that happened behind closed doors or didn't. But we can look at what's documented at school records, the prosecutor's case notes, the parents' own words on camera, in interviews, on recorded prison calls. And from all of it, a picture emerges, not of monsters, not of villains, but of two parents who made one decision over and over for almost two decades. They chose not to be the bad guy. There's something Steve Shirilla said on camera in the Netflix documentary, The Crash, that cost him his teaching job at a Catholic school. Not for what it revealed about Mackenzie, for what it revealed about him. And we'll get to exactly what he said in just a moment. And there's also a recorded phone call from prison after the conviction, after the sentencing, after everything, where Natalie said something to her daughter that proves the household's operating system is still up and running. Something that goes beyond grief, beyond denial. A mother on the record telling her convicted daughter that the rules still don't apply to her. And we'll get to that too. The documented record starts with a relationship. Mackenzie Shirilla began dating Dominic Russo when she was 13 years old. He was 16. She was a freshman in high school. He was 13 years old, or he was 3 years older, and the parents allowed it without conditions, without boundaries, without a single conversation about what it meant to let a 13-year-old date a 16-year-old. They just allowed it, allegedly. By the time Mackenzie was 17, she had graduated high school and moved in with Dominic at the home owned by his family. The parents permitted that too. Yeah, go live out there. Each of those was a boundary. Each was a place where a parent could have intervened, could have said no, or not yet, or let's talk about this. And each time the boundary was not enforced, which meant it stopped being a boundary at all. It became the floor for the next one. That's how the architecture works. Not one catastrophic failure, not one terrible decision alone. 1,000 small surrenders that compound until the person living inside the structure genuinely cannot see the walls. Then there were the school records. The assistant prosecutor, Tim Troop, described the pattern of the Netflix documentary, one incident after the next of disrespect to teachers and fellow students. The picture, he said, was of someone who did not have a lot of adult oversight. And when the school raised concerns, bullying allegations, disciplinary incidents, the parents took their daughter's word for it. Natalie Shirilla said McKenzie didn't need much discipline. She said she trusted her daughter's version of events every time the school accused her of something. Steve reportedly took McKenzie's side against the school. The institution saw a pattern. The institution flagged it. And the parents flagged the institution. Every teacher, every counselor, every administrator who tried to draw a line around McKenzie's behavior was treated as a problem. My mom and dad, allegedly. And McKenzie absorbed the lesson, maybe the most dangerous lesson a child can learn. When someone tells you that you're wrong, the correct response isn't to examine your behavior. It's to discredit the person saying it. Now, Steve Shirilla's teaching job. He went on camera in the Netflix documentary and said this about his teenage daughter's marijuana use. Use that was extensively documented on her own social media accounts. Quote, I knew she smoked dope. I don't have a problem with her smoking dope. I don't have a problem with me smoking it. I don't have a problem with you smoking it. If you're going to take a drug, that's the one I believe you should take. It's better than alcohol. It's better than all the other crap. I would happen to agree. Yes, it's better than all the other crap. But to sit there and be like, you're totally down with your young teenage daughter doping it up. And you're like, oh, if you're going to do it, let's do that. Like, how about just no? How about no? This isn't good for a developing brain. This isn't something that we're going to do in our house. We're not going to do it together. You're not going to do it separately from me. I'm not going to know about you doing it and being cool with it. It's just something you're not going to do because I'm your father. And I set the rules, not you. But he wanted to be, you know, cool dad. That interview aired. The Mary Queen of Peace School in Cleveland, where Steve worked as an art and digital media teacher, put him on administrative leave. And then the Diocese of Cleveland later confirmed his contract would not be renewed. That's a whole conversation unto itself. Probably a good choice for once by a Catholic church administration in some way, shape, or form. It's amazing you're drawing a line there, but okay. That the statement that cost him his job is not the one that matters most. And by the way, Steve said, they're showing their true colors. Yeah, they're not cool with you going on and endorsing drug use of students while you're a teacher. That's just kind of a weird lane to be in. Not one for a Catholic school teacher. Call me crazy. So they did show their true colors. So did you, Steve. So did you. But the statement that cost him his job was not the one that mattered most. When TMZ followed up, Steve said he hadn't allowed McKenzie to smoke. He just hadn't stopped her. And then he delivered a sentence that contains the entire parenting philosophy of that household in 8 words. I couldn't lock her up in her room. Not, I chose not to intervene. Not, I decided it wasn't worth the fight. Not even, I picked my battles. He said he couldn't. As though the situation were a weather event that had happened around him, and he had zero control. The options are lock her away as a prisoner or just let her do whatever she wants. As though parenting a teenager were a force of nature that left him no options, a circumstance, not a choice. He wasn't a father who decided not to parent in his own telling. He was a father to whom parenting was impossible, passive, helpless. The universe simply arranged itself in a way that left him no room to act. And that distinction really matters because it's the same grammar his daughter uses. Things happen to Mackenzie Shirilla. She doesn't cause them. She doesn't choose them. She experiences them. The crash was a medical event she doesn't remember. The conviction was something that happened to her. The prison sentence is a situation she finds herself in. Nothing is off. Nothing is the result of a decision she made.
Children learn the language their parents speak, and the language of the Shirilla household, based on every piece of documented evidence available, was a language in which agency didn't exist. Nobody chose anything. Things just happened. Which brings us to the call. If a parenting dynamic is strong enough, it doesn't shut down when the child is convicted of murder. It keeps running. The sentencing hearing proved it. Natalie didn't just minimize Davian. She framed the entire proceeding as something happening to her family, not something her daughter caused. She asked for leniency for an accident Mackenzie doesn't remember. She had to be shamed by a judge into apologizing. This was not grief distorting a mother's judgment. This was a mother performing the same function she had performed at every school meeting, every discipline hearing, every confrontation for 17 years. My daughter is not the problem. The people saying she's a problem are the problem. The venue changed. The stakes were life and death. The operating system didn't. In my opinion. And then came the recorded phone call from the Cuyahoga County Jail. Mackenzie and her mother talking about what prison would be like. Visitation, programs, resources. And Mackenzie said this. That's how jail is supposed to rehabilitate people, but I don't need to be rehabilitated. She had just been convicted of murder, two counts, two people dead, and her position was that rehabilitation, the stated purpose of the institution she was about to enter, did not apply to her. But Mackenzie's statement isn't the one that matters most on the call. Natalie's. Natalie's response, a mother whose daughter had just been convicted of double murder, said this. Not you, but the people that have been convicted of crimes like actual criminals. Entire architecture of that household in a single sentence. A mother on a recorded line telling her convicted daughter that she exists in a different category than other convicted people. You know, like new friends. Like he was just a new friend. He's dead. He's a new one, though. And if he's new to us, it's less worth on the life. I know that's not what I meant. That's not what I'm saying. I know that's not what you said. But you said so much without saying it. That's the part. That's the problem. In my opinion. That the system she is sitting inside, it was built for someone else. That the rules, once again, do not apply to her. That's not a slip. This is not grief talking. This is the operating system. For 17 years, Natalie reframed Mackenzie's reality. The bullying wasn't real. The discipline wasn't deserved. And boundaries weren't necessary. The behavior wasn't a problem. And after a conviction for murder, the reframing is still running. Mackenzie isn't a real criminal. This isn't a real consequence. The program doesn't have an off switch because nobody ever installed one. And here's where the opinion meets the evidence. We don't know what Natalie said to Mackenzie when she was 5 or 10 or 14. We weren't in that house, but we know what Natalie said to her daughter after a murder conviction. If the message after a murder conviction is still, you're different, this doesn't apply to you, the message before the conviction was never going to be anything else. The dial was set. It was always set. There's a theory among people who followed this case closely, especially since the Netflix documentary brought it back into the national conversation. They call it the parental architect theory. The argument is pretty straightforward. Steve and Natalie Shirilla built the person their daughter became. It's what I talk about all the time. It's the recipe. Christine Russo, Dominic's sister, said it in a published interview. There's a fine line between defending your kids. They created a monster. They're monsters themselves. And she's earned that anger. She lost her brother. But this place, or this piece here, is making a different argument than the one Christine is making. Not a softer one, a harder one. Because the question underneath her statement is one nobody really wants to answer. Did the Shirillas know what they were building? I don't think they did. I don't think Steve Shirilla woke up every morning for 17 years and chose to create a person incapable of accountability. I don't think Natalie decided consciously to raise a daughter who couldn't distinguish between consequence and persecution. They didn't set out to build a narcissist. They set out to never be the bad guy, to be understanding parents, to be the trusting parents, the parents who don't turn everything into a war. And every time a boundary presented itself, the age gap relationship at 13, the social discipline, the marijuana, the escalating behavior, they chose the path of least resistance that avoided conflict every single time. There's a specific kind of parental neglect that doesn't look like neglect. It looks like love. It looks like trust. It looks like being the cool parent. It looks like giving your kid room to breathe. But when a 13-year-old is dating a 16-year-old and nobody intervenes, it isn't trust. When a teenager has a documented history of bullying and the parents blame the school, that isn't loyalty. When a father knows his minor daughter is using drugs and his response is, "Who am I to say?" That isn't progressive parenting. It's abdication. And abdication compounded over 17 years builds a person who genuinely believes the rules were written for other people. The parental architect theory isn't that the Shirillas were uniquely terrible parents. It's that they were commonly weak ones. And the commonness is what should unsettle every person listening, and probably why this case resounds so strongly with the American public. Because you know a household like the Shirilla household. You might be related to one. You might live next door to one. You might be one. The parents who can't say no. The parents who rewrite their kids' failures as someone else's fault. The parents who love, whose love looks exactly like the thing that is doing the most damage. This isn't about excusing Mackenzie Shirilla. This is about examining what she's responsible for. She is responsible for what she did. She's serving two concurrent sentences of 15 years to life at the Ohio Reformatory for Women. A judge called her actions controlled, methodical, deliberate, intentional, and purposeful. That verdict stands. She authored the ending of this story. But if we want to understand how a 17-year-old arrives at a place where consequences feel like a theory that applies to other people, where a murder conviction doesn't register as something that involves her, we have to go backwards, past the crash, past the relationship, past the school records, into the house where the operating system was first written. And in that house, a father who had every tool available to him, authority, presence, proximity, love, looked into a camera and explained his own parenting as an impossibility. I couldn't lock her up in her room. As though the only two options available to a parent were total control or total surrender. As though the thousand choices between those extremes, the conversations, the consequences, the willingness to be disliked by your own child for a week or a month or a year simply didn't exist. The most dangerous sentence in parenting, not cruelty, not rage, not abandonment, just a man standing in front of a camera explaining why he couldn't do the one thing that might have changed everything and genuinely believing it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I look forward to you weighing in and giving your feedback. Links are in the description. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Take us with you on the go. Search us there. Hit subscribe. Hit subscribe on YouTube so you can watch our presentations as well. We do appreciate it. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.